Was Michael Jackson a time-traveling pharaoh of ancient Egypt? Is the sun actually really close and just not that hot? The answers to these questions and more on this episode of This Paranormal Life. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host today, Mr. Kit Greer, and I'm joined by my paranormal host, my professional paranormal host investigator, Mr. Rory Powers. Welcome, Rory.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, you having a paranormal week?
Reasonably paranormal. Reasonably. Yeah. I've had a busy week of work. That's pretty unusual.
Spooky?
Is that spooky?
I don't know. I'm scared for my health. That's kind of spooky.
I've dark circles around my black eyes, if that's spooky.
I kind of scare myself when I look at myself in the mirror.
Is clinical depression spooky? Because if so, I'm a goddamn goblin.
Is pre-diabetes spooky? I guess so. Kind of scary, folks.
Here's a scary story. I can't pay rent. How's that for spooky? I don't know where my next meal's coming from. There's a little spook for you.
Boo.
Boo, you're broke. How's that? How's that?
That's what the bank manager said to you. Turns out paranormal podcasting isn't really a cash cow. Well, you'll be glad to know I've got just a crazy adventure for you this time around.
I cannot wait.
So tell me, Rory, you're from the United States of America. What do you know about Dulce, New Mexico?
Surprisingly little.
As a man from Dulce, New Mexico.
The legends are true. Let me start with that. Nothing.
All right. Nothing. Well, why would you know anything? After all, it's a small town. It's only 120 miles from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's based on the Jicarilla Apache Indian Reservation.
Ooh.
Home to about 2,600 people. Really small. Nearly entirely Native American population. Well, the sleepy town of Dulce went on to become the site of one of the most controversial cases in paranormal history. A story so desperately covered up by the powers that be that just to hear the story endangers your very life.
Good God.
So anyone who wants to live, just stop listening now.
Oh, that's good. We should do a disclaimer here. So we're going to get into some weird paranormal shit here. This is going to put you on some government lists.
You're going to go on a list, dude.
If you continue listening to this podcast, this is the disclaimer. You should stop right now if you don't want to be woke. If you want to continue rat race lives, living in the gutters.
Yeah, if you just want to, you know in the Matrix when Morpheus offers the red pill and the blue pill? This is the fucking red pill, dude. I'm traveling to the States later this year. I'm out of my damn mind if I think I'm getting to the country after this podcast.
Flagged at the gate. Kit Greer from This Paranormal Life.
Dart gun to the neck immediately in the middle of the entire airport.
It's clearly an alien with like a handlebar mustache. Come with me.
Bill Clinton at his side, every ex-president that's alive and dead by the alien side.
So, if you're still here, congratulations. You're not a little bitch.
It all began with a doctor of physics, Mr. Paul Benowitz. When cattle mutilation started popping up around New Mexico in the 70s, we've talked about these before in the podcast.
Here we go.
Benowitz became convinced that they were the result of extraterrestrial intervention, which is an idea that's become very popular since. It goes together like, you know, PB and jam right now, but it wasn't always obvious. With this in mind, he then began picking up intercepted electronic signals near Dulce. This is a town too small to be receiving such signals, so he was trying to work out why. He thought to himself, if these aren't being directed to Dulce from another town, maybe they're coming from Dulce.
Oh.
But where? This is just like a couple shops around. There's like one hotel. There's 2,000 people. They're all Native Americans. Where are they coming from? Dude, maybe if they're coming from underground.
I love it. I love it. And you know I'm on board. You know, because I've done my research into ancient aliens and the Hollow Earth. So here we go.
Right.
Let's do this. Cappadocia, Turkey, the hidden cities. Do your research, folks. We've covered it all.
Episodes 1 through 7, I think you'll find.
Because that's about as extensive as our research is as well.
And he thought to himself, you know, normally radio signals are going, you know, like across the earth. They're going from one city to another.
Right.
But if they're under the ground, where are they going? Straight up, dude. Into the sky, dude.
To who, though?
He started propagating the theory that not only did aliens create cattle mutilations, but they're still here, communicating with their planet right underneath our feet.
Can I ask about these radio transmissions that he's picking up?
Yes.
I mean, was this just static? Was this like, we're under the earth? Was it confirmation of alien existence?
Send some food. Earth food sucks. We've been eating Doritos.
We forgot to cook the cows. We just killed them. We're really hungry. I want, so does he any words, any alien languages he can pick up?
I don't think he got that far. What I gather from Mr. Benowitz is that your greatness and madness are next door neighbors. You know, he went into everything with this kind of slant of maybe it's aliens.
Yeah.
So I think this was a bit like the way that we receive radio signals from outer space and don't know what they are. I think it was the same thing. It was like just unencoded, raw bleeping, like imagine Morse code.
Right.
It's like, just this noise. Seems like a message.
Right.
Yeah, like it could be a message.
Okay.
I don't think it was like talking in English.
That would be too easy.
That would be way too easy. Dude, this podcast would stop now. And it does. All right, everyone.
You picked up one signal saying, yeah, we're real. Then they hung up.
And at this same point in history, a government geologist and structural engineer, Phil Schneider, is offering...
Sorry, just stuttered there because of how real this story is. Sometimes it's so real, I just can't even speak.
Okay, let me try that again. So at this point in history, a government geologist and structural engineer, Phil Schneider, is offered a government contract to work in Dulce, New Mexico.
That's coincidental. The throne around. Why does he need to go there? You said there's like 2,000 people there.
Well, we'll get there. Schneider has worked on several government underground projects. So I guess the military build bases underground, things like that. He's worked on these before. You never really think about these things. Think of Area 51, this huge base. And
constantly. I think about it constantly.
I see it when I close my eyes. Hell, when I open my eyes.
It's where I've been. It's where I belong. It's where I will go.
Where I was born. Yeah, whenever you think of these bases and like someone built that, like architects designed it and engineers built it.
Yeah.
And construction workers built it. Like people worked in these things. It's not like a great mystery. So this guy, Robert Schneider, he's like worked on government projects before. So whenever he's offered a contract to come into Dulce, he doesn't ask any questions. He's happy to take the job. But things didn't go quite to plan. I'll take you back. It's late August 1979. Schneider is beginning work in Dulce to create an underground facility. That's all he knows.
Okay.
So to create an underground facility, as Schneider educated me, not personally, this is online, you have to drill...
I assure you, I had no idea what was down there.
I don't know what it was. Apparently, you have to start by drilling several holes in the ground, and then you can drill between them, and then you can excavate the ground in between, and then you've kind of hollowed out an amount of earth, and you can build inside that.
I believe the first seven are warning holes to any possible alien species down there to be like, hey, we're coming, we're coming. Put in some drill sounds here. We're coming. We're coming, and I don't know how many do. We're coming, we're coming, we're coming. And then if they haven't moved off by then, that's on them. If you drill straight to an alien skull, that's on them.
Sorry, bro. So they started drilling these warning holes, as you put it, but something was wrong. When they drilled into the earth, they started hearing mechanical failure. Insert mechanical failure. What is this here? Okay, stop the drill. And they pull it out and the drill is like broken. It's like busted. So this happened a couple times. So once maybe you hit something unusual, I guess, you know, there's all sorts of things stuck in it.
Right. Sorry. I will not apologize for filling in the blanks.
The next time they drill, black soot and gas erupt out of the ground. What the hell's down there? Schneider started to question things when he noticed that there were actually Green Beret commandos stationed amongst the engineers. He thought something was kind of weird, actually. So the team decide together, commanders included, that they're going to send someone down and just see what's up, you know.
I guess, you know what, you hit some, like a natural gas buildup
exactly.
In the earth. You hit like a pocket of it.
Exactly.
Smoke.
And in terms of the drill, you hit some sort of like, you know, metal deposit.
Right. What were you going to say? The field,
we're
right?
We're done, dude.
Okay.
So they decide they need to send someone down there. And obviously, Schneider's the man. So they fire up the basket with the little rope and the lamp and everything. And
he's not a kitten. Why are they putting him in a little basket?
Why would they put a kitten in the hole in the first place?
I don't know.
Isn't that where kittens go, dude?
He's not a canary.
Yeah.
There you go. That would work better. So cut out the kitten bit. Just keep the canary bit.
So they lower him down the basket and a headlamp into the darkness. So at this point, we have a video testimony of what happened that day from Mr. Philip Schneider.
From the man himself.
From the man himself. So we're going to play this for the audience, and we're going to listen to it and see what he has to say.
Analyze.
As professionals.
In this process, I was lowered down the basket of one of these holes, and about from me to this elderly woman here in the front was sitting a 7 foot tall alien gray. The stench was worse than the worst garbage can you can imagine. The person was at, or the entity was absolutely horrible. I didn't waste any time or reach for my pistol. At that time, as an engineer, I didn't have time to carry all the folder, all of one of these big submachine guns that all the sea spray and the yellow fruit and the, all the outer perimeter and inner perimeter security people carried. I carried old Walther PPK pistol with a 9-shot clip. You got a regular clothes on, plus you're in a almost like a spacesuit environment, and you're reaching for a gun. It's not the easiest thing to do, and then to pop a clip in it and start shooting. And I killed two of them. Yes, they're mortal, and they do die. However, in the process, one of them did this. All I remember is that he just kind of waved his hand in front of his chest. And the next thing I know, this blue beam hit me and just literally opened me up like a fish. And burnt my fingers right off of me.
What?
And it was some form of electrical force because the kind of like being hit by a lightning bolt burned all my toenails off of me.
Holy shit.
Completely crispy crittered my left foot. Burnt the shoe right off of me. All I remember is the smoking remains, and I'm still conscious, but in and out of, I didn't remember much. And there was a Green Beret that was right behind me that risked his life. In fact, he died.
But
he
Jesus
risked his
Christ.
Life. He shoved me back in the basket and hit the button and took me up. And I wouldn't be alive talking to you today if it wasn't for him. I'm forever indebted.
I have so many questions.
He lost his wife. 66 Secret Service agents, Green Berets, Black Berets, crack troops lost their lives because the government, our United States government, lied, did not tell us anything about the alien threat. There's a war underneath there, and I'm talking dead serious. It's been going on since that time.
Whoa.
Since late August of 1979, our military, the Russian military, basically the militaries of the world, have been in constant conflict with the outer space alien. The small gray, the large gray, the reptilians, the whole thing. There are 11 distinct races of aliens. Two are benevolent. One had to leave here in a hurry because their world is under attack, both on the surface as well as underground.
I was so on board for so long.
You know,
I could
be
so
some
close.
Of you are familiar with that. I have a picture of one of the aliens been working for the United States Pentagon
what
for the last
that?
58 years. His name is Val Valiant Thor.
Val
right
Valiant?
Here. He basically hasn't changed. He lives for 490 years, what he says his lifespan is. He's a human-looking type person. He has 6 fingers and 6 toes, and
what is this?
He's
is
got
mad.
One oversized heart, one lung, giant lung.
He's making it up now.
His blood vessels are bigger. He's got copper oxide for blood, similar to an octopus. He has a thinking capacity. If you were to measure it, be totally off the scale. It'd be about a 1200 IQ.
Because how does he even know?
He speaks 100 languages fluently, alien as well as others. He's a remarkable person. I had a chance to meet him one time.
Wow.
So, Rory, you've just had the pleasure of listening to the testimony from Philip Schneider. Pretty convincing, wouldn't you say?
I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
I have a lot of questions.
Question
Let's
one.
Let's start. He said the Green Beret that saved him died?
No, he said 66 of the Green Berets died that day.
What?
Yeah, 66 people died that day, Roy. That's the alien-human battle of Dulce, New Mexico. This is a very important event in the UFO community.
He was kind of slapped to the face because I was sitting there laughing along with him as he said he took out his pistol and killed two aliens.
Yeah, it was pretty badass.
Before being blasted in the chest by a laser beam.
He got his fingers blasted off. You saw it in the video.
That's it. As soon as he raised his hand, and he literally has fingers missing off of his... off of his left
hand. Yeah, I would encourage you guys to look this up if you are interested. You can find this. This is Philip Schneider, Underground Alien Bases. There's dozens of talks by Philip.
We always talk about these cases, and it always comes back to, is there proof? Is there hard evidence that they leave behind any DNA, any impacts on the environment? They took this man's fingers.
Absolutely.
For all extensive purposes.
He was covered in scars, and he had scars over his chest, and he claims those were laser wounds from this blast from this alien. His missing fingers. He lost his freaking toenails, dude.
Jesus. Okay, so it's a lot of very specific information that he knows.
Yeah, he doesn't beat around the bush, does he?
But it also comes back to, why is he lying about this? Why would he lie about this?
Yeah.
What is he gaining from this? And he's not gaining anything. I assume it's only damaging fingers. Reputation, damaging his band.
So Schneider goes on to claim that this plant where the attack took place is part of a multi-story facility underneath the earth that houses humans, human-animal hybrids, and aliens for experimentation.
Okay.
He claims there's many bases like this around the earth known to governments and covered up.
If this is a place that's known, run by the government, almost like a little prison, then why, what, did he just accidentally drill into one of like the jail cells?
He was contracted to build an additional facility onto this, but they were keeping them in the dark about what the purpose of this was or what was even
as you
done.
Should
and yeah, absolutely. So in the aftermath of this alien battle and explanation, Schneider became a lecturer on UFO contact, toured the country speaking about this incident. Through his research, he claimed that President Eisenhower had struck a deal with the extraterrestrials in 1954, allowing them to experiment on humans here on Earth, hence the government's knowledge of this alien base.
Ah, okay. So I've heard stories of Eisenhower before being involved with extraterrestrial activities.
Yeah, because he was kind of clued in guy, kind of like experimented with this.
Yeah, I don't know if clued in is the best way to describe his mental state.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Frustratingly, Schneider was unwilling to give up the entrance to the underground base, potentially because of the threat this would pose to his own life. He claimed to have avoided no less than 13 murder attempts from government forces because of what he knew.
No.
But he only survived for so long. In 1996, he was found dead in his home.
Jesus!
The authorities wrote it off as a suicide, but his wife didn't buy it. He was found strangled by a hose wrapped around his neck 3 times.
Oh my god.
It didn't add up. Schneider, as we saw in that video, was missing fingers and he had limited motion in his shoulders. He had all sorts of issues from this alien
attack.
From
the laser blasts, of course.
He had cancer, osteoporosis.
Jesus Christ.
All of these issues. It was unlikely that he could have achieved this himself by wrapping this around his head. Not to mention, as his wife pointed out, he was a chemical expert, owned a handgun, so he had like many better ways to kill himself.
Yeah, than a garden hose.
Than with a freaking garden hose. Before he died, he told his wife, "My death will be made."
I will never commit suicide.
Yes, he said, "My death will be made to look like a suicide."
Holy shit! Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my god,
it's real.
This is insane.
Did the Black Hawk helicopters and
government agents
get to him? Would that validate the stories of an underground base at Dulce? It seems far-fetched, but Schneider isn't the only victim of this knowledge. In October last year, conspiracy theorist Max Spires was found dead in an apartment in Poland, where he had gone to deliver a speech on several topics, including the underground base at Dulce, New Mexico. He was covered in a black liquid when he died that he had vomited out.
Oh, God.
Just days previously, he texted his mum to say, if anything happens to me, investigate.
Imagine being a mother getting that text.
Like, hey, Max, out of the blue. Coming home for dinner tonight? I've got like a roast on. If anything happens, investigate!
Investigate! That would be terrifying. I just want to, before we go any further into the podcast.
Please.
If anything happens to me, investigate. I want to say that now on this podcast. It goes out
kill you live on the
to
podcast.
You, thousands of people. If I have apparently committed suicide, it was not me. I've been hunted down. They're trying to shut me up because I'm too woke. They're trying to close me down.
If I cycle into a tree in a BMX incident, investigate.
Do it all.
If I die in a hot dog eating contest, investigate. So Max Spires dies in these mysterious circumstances. His girlfriend and mother believe that he was killed in a satanic ritual for knowing too much. So these two men gave their all in telling the truth about Dulce. But physical evidence, to be fair, is thin on the ground. A lead did emerge, however, when the United States Department of Agriculture released documents detailing UFO incidents on national grounds. Emails from within the department in Albuquerque, New Mexico, reveal that they were alerted to sightings of an alien base in Tonto National Forest nearby. Interestingly, former U.S. Air Force intelligence officer George Filer also claims the existence of an alien base in Tonto National Forest. He points to the many cases of missing people in the area. He says people would just, you would find cars empty with people's personal belongings and everything lying, just totally abandoned. Those people will have gone missing. Does this tie in to the fact that Schneider thought that there were multiple bases around the world? Officer Filer also, however, believes that the same aliens helped the United States in the Vietnam War. But that's another tale for another podcast.
Look, we've done a whole podcast about the Nazis getting help from ancient aliens.
It's
during
true.
The Second World War.
Is it that far of a stretch of the imagination?
What do? You fight fire with fire, fight lasers with lasers.
You get your own
aliens.
That's right. It was an arms race. And what's the greatest arms of all?
Alien arms. They're long, they're gangly.
And they can blow lasers.
They can blow lasers from their slightly oversized hearts, apparently.
That's right. Six fingers, big heart. Lovely guy, big hot.
Blood, much like an octopus. Which is, I don't, like, how, because he says all these things like, they have the blood, much like an octopus, oversized heart. I met the man once. Mm. If you met the guy once, how does he know all these details? These little details?
Well, I think, again, it was because his dad supposedly had contact with this guy.
Right, okay, so we're looking at some sort of dynamic similar to Indiana Jones and his father. You know, we're looking
that's
at
right.
like old adventurer,
that's
and then
right.
Young Indy finds all his notes and wants to continue on like hunting aliens and finding out all this
that's
information.
That's right, he set down the path for him.
Yeah, and his dad's all like, look, Junior, there's aliens out there in this world, and we've got to stop them. And it's like, okay, wait, no, he's not a kid at that point. Okay, Dad, sounds good.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. Like I said, physical evidence is thin on the ground, but sometimes it's like, as you say, the human aspect of this. What do these guys have to lose?
Right.
It turns out everything. These guys died.
Yeah,
telling these stories.
That's the ultimate price.
It really is.
Because we've had people who get discredited, they get mm-hmm. fired, they mm-hmm. get publicly mm-hmm. shamed and humiliated.
Yeah.
By us on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the second worst punishment of all, to be honest, is iTunes, like, disgrace.
That's, like, I think we talked about it before, that is genuinely one of my biggest fears, is to ever have an actual paranormal encounter where I'm so convinced that it's real that I destroy my life trying to convince others that it happened.
The government's trying to shut you down for
just
mentioning
it. Yeah, it's a nightmare. Because think about it. You'd be like, what is the goddamn point? My wife doesn't speak to me. The kids are gone. And the government's trying to kill me.
It's so true.
Even though no one believes me. Madness.
I know. I mean, it's exactly like
investigate.
That.
Investigate. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Hashtag investigate. I'm going to end all of my tweets with hashtag investigate. It's exactly like that South Park episode, the homeless one, where he's asking for change.
Yes.
It's like everyone thinks they're so different to homeless people, and then one day you genuinely need change, and suddenly you're just any other homeless person.
Yeah, you're out there like making excuses, money. Being like, oh, like I forgot my wallet, and I'm locked out of the office building. It's like, oh my God, now I'm one of them.
And it's the exact same thing.
You look down and you're missing three fingers, and you're like, oh God. But I dug the warning holes. Oh God.
Investigate.
As you disintegrate into the floor.
So we've got the facts. We've got the fiction.
Right.
We need to
all fiction.
Pick them apart. Excuse me. What do you make?
All right. Do I believe the government has done shady stuff in underground bases? Absolutely. I think it's happened in today. I think it's happened during the World War. To the extent of which I'm not entirely sure about. Investigate. Now, when it comes to things like aliens, I think he was suspiciously clued in to a lot of aspects of these alien mannerisms.
Yeah.
To the point where he's almost...
an alien.
Right? You're getting that as well? Oh, they damaged my hand and now I only have three fingers. Oh, yeah. Or are the other two fingers on that hand fake? And they're all three fingers.
He blasts everyone in the crowd at once.
Starts rubbing his heart.
Investigate.
You know, I've been in the game a long time. I've seen a lot of shit. A lot of unexplainable space junk.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, who am I to say? Who am I to say that aliens didn't visit the Earth at some point
this
in
morning?
Humans' life? I think this is, out of all the paranormal kind of subgenres, this is the one that I am closest to being on the side of belief with, because it's far fetched but plausible.
Yes,
I don't think there are like ghost children walking the earth.
Yes.
Because that's so far removed. I can believe in technology. I can believe in life on other planets.
Yes.
I can believe in scientific advancement and government experimentation because it's happened and we've seen it and it's been declassified. So do I think there are alien bases and laboratories used to experiment on humans under the earth? Possibly. Possibly I do. Possibly. Investigate. What do you think? You haven't given me your conclusion.
I mean, this Philip Schneider guy, he's quite problematic. He's a very controversial figure, even within the UFO community.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think he's full of crap.
Yeah, because I got the idea he's trying to make it out like he's got all the answers.
Yeah.
So that in that community, he's like the head honcho.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, this guy was attacked and he knows and he killed them and everything. But a lot of it just sounds like it could be stuff that he made up.
Yeah, I mean, I think as you say, it just seems too sure about a lot of really specific
things.
Oddly
specific. But, you know, you can be on board for, I saw one, I shot it, my hand burnt off. And then he's like, there's 11 different species. One of them had to leave because there was a battle on their home planet. How does he know that?
Yeah.
That's mad.
It's definitely fishy. So I think, was there an alien-human war under Dulce, New Mexico? I feel like probably not.
I think we're both going no on that one.
I'm a big believer in aliens. I think people are insane if they don't believe in aliens.
I like that. I like that we're both crazy on the same page because the probability is it's yes.
It's insane. People don't realize.
It's like, almost more improbable that there isn't other life.
But was there a war underneath Dulce, New Mexico? Hell no. Investigate.
No. Investigate. Hashtag investigate. I like that. We've almost got like a little phrase now. Always remember, folks, investigate. I'm also doing an Illuminati triangle sign with my hands.
Just to keep Jay-Z
forward.
Happy.
Yeah.
Make sure we
investigate.
Don't screw anyone over.
Always.
Well, if you guys have your own UFO tales, your own underground alien tales, if you built an underground government facility, hell, if you're Philip Schneider himself, you're missing fingers and whatnot, please email us in instantly.
Absolutely.
At thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. We're always watching that Gmail inbox, and we're gonna talk about some of those stories coming up pretty soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you want to get in touch, as we said, send in an email. If you want to do it quick and dirty, we're both on Twitter. I'm at Rory Has Powers, and you're at
Kit Greer, G-R-I-E-R.
Send them in. If you have any recommendations of cases you want us to explore, or your own horrible little mysteries that you've come across.
That's right. And if you're enjoying the podcast, as always, the best
investigate. Way... Oh, sorry. No, what were you going
to
say?
To kill us and investigate. The best way is to hit us up on iTunes and leave us a little review.
Yeah. Investigate. Always, though. Don't forget that part about it.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.